Welcome to an in-depth look at Windows 8. Recorded Tuesday, September 20th, 2011. A week after the Microsoft Build Conference, we are here to discuss all things Microsoft Windows 8. My name is Thomas Gatesy, or Tomy, as I might need to be known in some circles. I have done a previous Windows 8 podcast, which dealt with a previous copy of Windows 8. Whether this is good or bad is up for you to decide. And this microphone might cut out a couple times. My apologies for that. So I've done a previous podcast to Windows 8, which really focused on Microsoft Narrator and accessibility in the operating system. I'm also known for several reviews of Windows 8, Windows 7, as far back as Windows Longhorn. I think I've been testing Microsoft products. So since 2005, I've carried the burden of running beta code. It's fun. It is a fun task to do. And so here, after the release of the developer preview of Windows 8, I am here once again to discuss what has changed, because significant things have been rearranged since that podcast. That was done using, I think, build 7955, the podcast itself. And Microsoft locked a lot of functionality down in build 7955, meaning we weren't allowed to see things like the new start screen or the new UI experience and Metro. And for those of you who are curious about Windows 8 and what it really implies as far as changes in the future, this is the podcast for you. In the quote-unquote studio that I have created here virtually, I have Kevin. Kevin, are you with us?
Yes, I am. My name is Kevin Chow. Cool. I'm going to be joining you guys talking about Windows 8.
Yeah, and we also have Alex. Are you around?
Yes, I am. I'm Alex Hirnan, and I am also going to be there talking about Windows 8 as well.
Cool stuff. Well, it's great to have you guys here. I really appreciate that you took the time to talk here. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this podcast and discussing Windows 8, because it's such a major UI change. And actually, I think when Microsoft said that we reimagined Windows, I don't think they were kidding. You know, they said we're reimagining Windows. It's been reimagined from the core. You know, as far as WinRT and things, what do you guys think of reimagining Windows? Do you think it's that different?
Yeah, I definitely think. I mean, everything from the boot level all the way up to the actual use of apps and stuff like that, each and every single aspect of it has changed. And all the way down to even Narrator and all their ease of access settings and so forth. I mean, huge, yeah. Radical changes.
Yeah, they really beefed up a lot of stuff with Windows 8. Just, I mean, everything from, like Kevin said, you know, from the boot process to the accessibility to the UI look. Everything's just, you know, a lot different.
And even the runtime, you know, they call it WinRT. It's not Win32 anymore. There is no more Win32. In fact, if you look at the way these new applications work, it really has been sandboxed, even if you want to call it. I mean, they don't run the same way that your legacy classic Windows apps ever ran. So that's a major, major change, I think, for a lot of people. Whether people will like it or not is up to you. It's up to you to decide. Do you guys like it? Do you like Windows 8?
I think it's still pretty early to kind of, I mean, some of the stuff are still quite not working all too well, but I mean, yeah. I definitely like the direction and kind of the concept that it's taking. Hopefully a lot of the things get ironed out.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences. I personally like the way that they're handling, they're going to have accessible touchscreen support now within, you know, just to not touch on a lot of things, but it's, you know, there's a lot of I'm adjusting. You know, I'm a hardcore desktop user, so seeing them try to port this stuff and make mobile and everything, you know, it's going to be very different for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the big thing here is tablet on a PC interface. I think with Apple as an example, because they're the first ones that truly started this, I think, trend. You know, Lion has Launchpad, and it has this entire idea of apps resuming and not really quitting when you close them. Just they're still sort of in RAM, but they're suspended on the hard drive as well. And then the idea of mission control and all these things that they've put really, I think, start to embrace a tablet environment. The difference between Apple and Microsoft, and I think you guys can see this too, is that Apple doesn't make it a default interface. You know, Launchpad isn't something that you have when you start up your Mac. With Windows 8, the home screen is what you have when you start up your Windows computer or tablet. So that's...
That start tile.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think we should probably talk about that a bit as far as kind of how it works from both visual and screen reader point. They're pretty much what people arguably play that once they boot into Windows 8 right. is a start screen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
on this start screen, you have all these different tiles, and some of them could be live tiles. For example, weather and stocks, where you have dynamic information on these different tiles, updating and providing information, so you don't actually have to open these Metro-style apps to either obtain some of the kind of information that you may want right away. So, for example, with the weather tile, you have the today's forecast, the current information, and the next several days are right there on that tile. You don't have to open it or do anything.
Right. Oh, sorry. You guys, do you have something to say, Kevin? Or wait, yeah. Do you guys have any ideas on how that will translate over to those that are familiar with the start menu?
Like from somebody transferring from Windows 7, kind of kind of get used to it. I think you can still, I guess, from a usability keyboard standpoint, you can still arrow around and you can still do things, but gone are the menus, gone are like programs and then accessories and then Notepad and WordPad and all that stuff. It's all kind of, I guess visually it probably looks a lot more pleasing, but right now at least with the current accessibility infrastructure and how they're handling things, it is kind of scattered, but it's just a bunch of icons and tiles, and then you can kind of gather where you are by the context of what it is. Like, you know, if there's just a regular icon that's not a tile, you can obviously assume that's a regular program that you installed or something like that. But it's kind of disorganized, honestly, compared to the regular start menu. But it gets, you know, you can get used to it. You can still search in it like Vista and 7. So from that standpoint, I guess it's the same.
Yeah, right. The search aspect's nice, and also that the fact that they have all these different keyboard commands, so you can press home and end, page up and page down to jump to different sections and all that, and activate the charm bar, and all these kind of different aspects that, I mean, you have the same method of interaction, either using a mouse or keyboard or touch. All these different ways are possible, which is definitely interesting.
There we go. I just had a small crash there. Yeah, you guys are right. And absolutely, when I first started using Windows 8, I really figured, you know, when I hit the start key, and I was expecting this start menu to pop up, obviously, since I figured the desktop's open. You know, I still have my system tray. What's going on here?
Yeah, and then it's like this tiley thing.
Yeah, I got this tiley thing. I was really thinking, is this really a replacement for the start menu, or is it something else? And it's sort of both, honestly, because the start menu, it's almost like you live your life in the start menu, but not.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
especially
it's really
with the weather, the automatic, or the static text like next to, you know, it's the weather 75 degrees, you know. That's really nice.
Right, right. And I don't know why. Gosh, okay. Well, I wanted to start, actually.
Context menu. Open. Hey, run as administrator.
By looking at this entire thing from the start, you know, from the installer, how do we install Windows 8? What happens when you get this? So that those that they want to try it out have an idea. I think it's still up on dev.windows.com, isn't it? I think it should still be up
there. I think it
should
be, yeah. I actually checked yesterday and it's still there, so unless they changed it relatively recently.
Yeah, I don't see why they would, you know.
Plus, there's always Dropbox, I guess, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, try Dropboxing a 5.5 gig file.
Well, if you're like a premium, I'm not a premium, but if you get a lot of people to refer you, I guess.
It would take a while to upload, and
yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be painful.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, so I'm going to, I use NVDA.
NVDA menu. References
and I don't know if I should use Eloquence or
East.
I don't know. I think
you guys hear
a lot of people... Yeah, I can hear Eloquence nice and clear.
Okay, yeah, okay. So it's in there.
References up menu.
Yeah, well, I'll use Eloquence since people are used to that. And we'll slow the speech rate down a little bit. And we'll see what happens from there. And,
variant green, rate 60.
Let's see.
Pitch 65, inflation 30, volume 92, voice American English, variant green, rate 60, rate 55, rate 50, rate 45.
There we go, 45. And,
computer window.
We'll
items view list T. Tommy row 2 column 1. Items view list D. Oh, then.
In my downloads folder,
items
I have placed.
Windows.zip. Windows 8 concept. Windows developer preview 32-bit English.iso.
There it is. Windows developer preview English 32-bit.iso. This is the file that you will get when you download Windows 8. It is literally the bomb of Windows 8. No, just kidding. Anyways, here we go. I'm going to hit enter. And one new feature.
Well, there are also
8.
The Windows 8 64-bit and Windows 8 64-bit with developer tools.
Right, right. Those are the two other ISOs that you can grab. But once I hit enter, it actually mounts it. This is a new function of Windows 8. It's ISO mounting. It'll mount it as a DVD drive. So I technically have a non-existent DVD drive in my computer.
Computer window. Items view list. Network location 1. Devices with removable storage grouping. Devices with removable storage 2. Fender V, row 1, column 1. Devices with.
There's that.
Hard disk drives grouping expanded. System reserve def. Devices with removable storage grouping expanded. Fender V, row 1, column. DVD drive H. Windows developer preview, row 1, column 2.
Ah, there it is. So, as you could hear, it's a DVD drive. And I'm going to hit enter.
DVD drive H. Windows developer EV.
And we can
S,
go.
Sources. S. Support.
To set up.
S. Set up. X. Unknown. Preparing to install Windows dialog. Graphic.
So this is what you will get to. The entire setup process has been changed around. It's nothing like with Windows 7. But I'm going to say this, it's probably not going to be the same when Windows 8 gets released next year. We're speaking, it's been redesigned. So let's see what we can read.
That this is only going to be available for people who are going to be upgrading to 8 from 7, not... If you want to do a clean install, that's still just a lot of enter, right? That's just going to be a lot of guesswork unless you have somebody looking at you at the screen.
Well, it's possible that Microsoft will include Narrator as a...
trying to get that.
As a, I guess, implementation during boot, which means you might be allowed to install Windows from when it starts up. But at the same time, right now, no. Because right now, when you actually start up Windows 8 from the DVD, you get
DVD drive H, Windows developer preview window, items view list, setup.
Pretty much Windows 7 still booted. So the DVD environment boots a mini copy of Windows 7, essentially, not Windows 8. That's why the setup process that you get when you boot from the DVD is actually the one that you would find in Windows 7, not the one you hear right now. If that makes any sense. At all.
Yeah, essentially what it comes down to, I think it'd be interesting to kind of share how we're, each one of us are running Windows 8.
Yeah.
Because I know each one of us are running it in different ways.
Are you? Okay.
I mean, tell me you're running it natively, right?
Yeah, this is native right here. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so you went ahead and just got rid of Windows 7 and...
Yeah, I pretty much
full,
just trashed Windows 7.
Windows 8.
Yep. How are you running it, or...
I'm running it within VMware Workstation 8, so and that's within Windows 7.
And so Workstation 8 does work with Windows 8.
Yep.
Because Workstation 7 did not.
And Workstation 8 does with there are specific steps you have to follow, and it doesn't work right off the bat. But it once you kind of follow the instructions that are available, it will work. And what about you, Alex?
VirtualBox, I have mine I have my Windows 8 running virtually. Also, I have a VirtualBox set up with that. That the GUI works with NVDA pretty well, so I was able to set that up. I actually thought about using VMware, but I was like, I already have VirtualBox installed, and then once I found a tutorial on how to do that, because there are specific things there too. You can't. I don't think you can do the 64-bit build yet and install that virtually, so I had to use the x86 one. Plus, there's a few things you have to check, but other than that, that went pretty smooth.
It makes you wonder which one's harder to install it through, VMware or VirtualBox?
I think eventually VMware is going to be a lot easier because they do the step-by-step, the wizards. So you basically can just say type of OS and then it'll just grab everything from the disk. But right now you can't do that. You have to go through and just kind of go into it.
But isn't VirtualBox not screen reader friendly? I thought there was something there with it not working too great with... Because it's made by Sun Microsystems, I think, isn't it?
Well, now it's Oracle who
right now
owns
it's Oracle,
that. But they in the last few versions, I haven't actually messed with it for probably 2 years. I tried it a couple years ago, and it was just terrible. And I kind of was like, I'm giving up hope. And recently they've done things with Qt Accessible, and slowly... Well, now it's fine, but for the longest time it was just you couldn't use it. It was impossible. And I guess it's not just with NVDA now. I guess JAWS is working. JAWS 13 works with it a little bit better.
Oh, good.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Certainly not as smooth as VMware though.
When you guys installed Windows 8, did you boot from the DVD or did you already have a pre-existing OS in your virtual machine that you used?
I pointed it to the ISO, so I was able to do that right there within VMware Workstation. And once I set it up as Windows 7 and without an OS, I went through the process of pointing the selecting the ISO for Windows 8 and then went through the installation that way. And the method I actually took to get through the whole installation, because Narrator doesn't work in it at the moment, and hopefully it will, but we'll see if that happens or not. I actually used JAWS 13 Convenient OCR to read the different screens.
Wow.
The boot screens.
You can do that now.
It's not exactly kind of perfect and intuitive and all that stuff, but it does allow you to read what's on the screen. Like, for example, right when I kind of... selected the ISO, I was able to check that I was on the user license agreement screen and was able to select accept, and then that the next screen had the custom upgrade
it's the same,
and fresh install options and know exactly which one was which. So I was able to go through and monitor progress and so forth. So that's the method I took.
The JAWS actually let you click items inside the VM. Like, you know how you're supposed to be able to click buttons with the Convenient OCR feature now? Or links in a PDF document, does it let you actually click with your mouse on the various buttons that a VMware OS presents?
It probably would if I had the VMware settings correctly, but every time I clicked with the mouse, it would click out of the virtual machine. But what I did instead was, I just mainly used it to read what was on the screen, and I just kind of either pressed Alt-A for accept or tab around and enter.
Wow.
And that worked.
That is very interesting.
I tried the upgrade from previous virtual machine option, and that failed terribly. So, basically, when I got to, I tried to upgrade from XP, which when you think about it, you're going from XP to Vista's a 7 to 8, so it's pretty terrible. I thought it would work. They said it would work, but ended up getting lots of issues, so I decided to just delete that VM and start fresh with a Windows 7 configured VM with a couple of tweaked settings that they told me to get, and that took like 2 or 3 hours to actually get it to install, tabbing around and hitting enter and Alt-A, like Kevin said, except I didn't use Convenient OCR. I just kind of guessed, and when I heard my hard drive...
Yeah, that's what I do,
When I heard my hard drive clicking and spinning, I knew something was happening.
Right. that's what I did when I installed it on my desktop. I didn't get any solid help. Beside forming the hard drive, that was the only thing I needed solid help for. But other than that, my desktop has a pretty much 0 gigabyte hard drive, so freeing it down to zero. It's a 750 gig hard drive, but I wiped it off, to blank, and then I install Windows 8. So I have two computers that run Windows 8, a laptop, which is a Core i3 laptop, and a desktop, which is a Core i5 laptop. I might grab my really old Core Duo ThinkPad, which this Core i3 was the replacement for, and install Windows 8, because I've heard people installing Windows 8 on 128 megabytes of RAM.
It's probably run slow, but it's probably doable.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that, you know, proving to you the performance here, and as Steve Sanofsky proved in his keynote, you can run this thing on a 1 gig netbook, you know, with 1 gig of RAM, and you will have less resources used than you did when you were running Windows 7 on the same netbook. So Windows 8 really uses at least 100 megs less memory than Windows 7 did.
Yeah, actually in my VM, I have it configured. I originally had it set up to use both cores. I have a Core 2 Duo, 2.6 gigahertz and 4 gigs of RAM. But I only set it up to use, originally it was 2 cores and 2 gigs of RAM. And I was like, okay, it seems okay, let me drop it down in half. So I'm running it with 1 core and 1 gig of RAM, and it's running exactly the same.
Wow.
And Alex and I were kind of going back and forth and seeing our RAM usage, and it uses roughly about 400 megs.
Yeah, it's pretty light. Wow. It runs 400 megs.
Is it with a screen reader or without one right now?
What is that?
That's with like NVDA running inside of it, correct, too?
Yeah.
With NVDA, it's about 400, and with Narrator, it's like 370.
Wow. Yeah, so Narrator kind of uses 330 megs less than NVDA.
Yeah. And we'll get into Narrator too, but that's good to show. I want to demo the
recorder icon for virtual audio cable installer from 1.24 audio repeater Windows developer preview setup icon 7 of 18 Windows developer preview setup dialog preparation compatibility install config dialog gets the latest these updates to Windows setup will help make the installation smoother. Go online to install updates now recommended radio button checked.
So this is the, again, installing it from within Windows 7. It would be the same procedure here as you are seeing right now. You have this dialog box which you can choose.
No thanks, radio button checked.
No thanks.
I want to help make the installation of Windows developer preview better. Checkbox checked all die.
And I would leave this checked. I think it actually submits your installation report to Microsoft, and that might help them hopefully speed it up and improve it. But if you are one of those people that are afraid of, you know, your privacy and whatnot, you know,
yeah, I unchecked it. I'm weird like that. I just unchecked everything.
Yeah,
I didn't go for updates.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Next button, hold
on. And once you click next,
press dialog. Check in your PC. Check in your PC. Check in your PC text.
This takes a little time. It basically goes through all your apps, and I'm assuming this will be the back end to the upgrade procedure. If you can upgrade to Windows 8 from like Windows 7, it'll check your compatibility of your apps. I don't really know why it does it right now. There's no point, but it still takes a minute or two, and I think that's it. After that, you know, you're ask one more dialogue and you click next and you're on your way. So let's see what happens here.
Check in your PC. Check in your PC text read only. Progress bar 100% read only. No next. Check in your PC text read only.
Longer than it did on my little virtual failing XP system.
Like it didn't, but
internal micro. Windows developer preview setup dialog preparation compatibility install config dialog. Check in your PC. Check in your PC. Check in your PC.
I don't think it's gonna work. Should run Windows 8.
Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't install under Windows 8, but. As you heard that the steps here, let's listen to this.
Windows
again.
Developer preview setup dialog preparation compatibility install config.
So preparation, compatibility, install, config. Those are the steps. That's where it's reading the steps of the setup procedure. You know, this is preparation. We've already done through that.
Check in the product key. Check in the product key. Check in the product key.
There
text.
It is. So it's working. It's checking the product key, which
dialogue license
technically
make our lawyers happy by reading this carefully. I agree to the license agreement. Checkbox not.
Yeah, that's funny. Make our lawyers happy by reading this carefully. It actually says that It literally says that.
Windows developer preview setup dialog preparation compatibility install config. Dialog license
one thing I can one thing I just want to say while we're doing this or while we're at this step. One thing I noticed about Windows 8 is it's very I wouldn't want to say dumbed down because that's not quite the right word, but no, it's a lot more personal.
Yeah, exactly.
One on one, it's very, very friendly worded.
Make our lawyers happy by reading this carefully.
It's more like we don't really care so much, but I mean we do, but you know, just please do this for us, and you know, just tick the box. We know you're not going to read it anyway, but just do it.
Make our lawyers happy by reading this carefully. Edit multi-line realm. This document contains individual license terms for the Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean they definitely try to make it more tailored to the average user.
Right.
Exactly.
And I sort of saw this
majority of the user base.
Yeah. I sort of saw this with Windows 7 too. The help and support, the help messages and the help dialogues seemed more tailored to an individual person than to, you know, just a more formal type of thing.
Exactly, that's the word. You know, it's a lot more informal now. I mean, like, if you look at a Windows 2000 help dialogue, it's very, very boring.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And once you
agree, license agreement, check box, check box, space, check back button, multi, accept button, multi,
next,
space,
accept,
rest, next, dialog, what would you like to keep, what would you like to keep, user accounts and personal files, radio button checked.
Here you're allowed to back up and keep your user accounts and your personal files. If you choose keep this, it'll actually transfer all that over. If you
nothing,
choose
radio button checked.
Nothing, I didn't do this, but I think it would just wipe out your existing user settings. So
user accounts and
this is your last screen. I mean, if I hit next from here, I think it'll start copying files, so I'd rather not do that.
Windows developer preview setup, no button,
I'm
no yes, button, no
cancel
it. Space, internal microphone proper.
But this is all you have.
Then we won't have a podcast if you do that.
Right, yeah, the podcast will be gone.
People never hear this.
So, let's say you just install Windows 8, and you know, you're rebooted, I think once, you reboot. And then you are placed in the initial dialogues, and this is what I can't, you know, demo, because I can't go back to the out-of-box experience. But I'm going to start using Narrator here and launch Narrator to show how Narrator has advanced. So here we go.
Exit NVDA dialog.
Narrator window. Focus on Welcome to Narrator. Press any key on the keyboard to hear the corresponding key. Press Windows plus Alt plus F1 to review the full set of Narrator commands. Press the Tab key to navigate through the options.
So, as you heard, yep, that's a new word, Narrator has been redesigned, and if you've listened to the podcast that I made before, this is the same exact Narrator, but different voice. I like this voice. It sounds very much more natural. I'm really glad Microsoft took the initiative to create a new voice. You know, it's a lot more polished. I don't know what do you guys think of the new voices in Narrator?
The nice thing is that, I mean, you mentioned voice. I mean, there are actually a few voices, and it sounds like they plan on rolling out a lot more kind of for multilingual support and so forth. But I definitely do like the approach they took with these high quality voices that are more responsive than Anna or, I mean, definitely sound much better than good old Sam.
Oh yeah, this is nothing compared to Microsoft Sam. I want to play a portion of the video here. There shouldn't be one or 2 minutes of when they demoed Narrator on a touch interface, so you see how different this experience is on a touch screen. You know, with the Narrator on a desktop, you have your Narrator keys. I think this is a straight off copy of a VoiceOver in a way too. You have Alt and Windows arrows that you use. It's sort of the same approach as Apple took, I think. Pretty much. You know. I don't see much difference. You have containers that you enter. And those are
they're calling them items instead of...
Yeah.
It's just different kind of verbiage. And mm-hmm. I mean, as far as those commands of how you interact with the containers and so forth, those are the same.
Right.
But they're kind of review and the navigation stuff are slightly different.
I think Narrator actually says busy like VoiceOver does when it's a progress bar, I think. I've seen it happen a few times.
I gotta say busy only once. But, I mean, it's definitely that it's good that it's not excessive and kind of compulsive saying busy like VoiceOver is.
VoiceOver was, yeah. That was kind of annoying. So, okay, I'll first start off by navigating around the screen with the desktop, and then we'll go into a Windows Explorer dialog in the computer dialog to sort of demo the container. And there are two additional commands.
General.
If you listened to the podcast again, there were 56 commands in Narrator, now there are 58. I'm going to open the command list also real quick.
Let's search all commands window. Cancel current message. Cancel current message. Lock Narrator keys. Pass keys to application.
So as
toggle
you can see,
keystroke announcements. Repeat phrase. Show commands for current item.
Windows. These are the
increase voice
pretty
volume.
Comprehensive commands.
Decrease voice volume. Increase voice speed. Decrease voice speed.
Very comprehensive.
Read item. Read item advanced. Read window. Read all items in containing area. Do default action. Start reading. Toggle mouse mode. Toggle touch mode. Toggle search mode.
Yes, these are all options. And the last two commands.
Fast forward while reading a document. Rewind while reading a document. Windows plus Alt plus tilde.
So these are new commands that were added between my podcast and this Windows 8 build. Pretty cool. You can fast forward and rewind your speech now.
And the nice thing is you can actually, with Narrator, the interface, you can actually customize all these different commands.
Yeah.
So if you don't like whatever commands that are assigned to a specific function, you can actually go in there and change it yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
General,
I think...
Navigation.
The last one.
Change commands.
Create
customizable keyboard commands.
Yeah, you can click that.
Commands. Horizontally change command keyboard shortcut. Button. Alt
and
plus C.
And you can click that button.
Type a keyboard shortcut dialog. Focus on. Document.
And let's say I want to do
shift. Text.
Do you actually type the word shift?
By press narrator
no,
window.
You just press
yeah, you
whatever
press
command you want. So like
yeah,
shift,
so
alt, whatever.
I just press
help.
Shift.
Commands. Cancel current message selected. Selection contains items. Cancel current message. Control. Selected. 1 of 59.
Weird, didn't change it. But yeah, that's pretty much the... Interesting how there's only 39 commands that you can change. That is weird.
Exit Narrator. Windows plus Alt plus Escape. Selected. 2 of 59.
Oh, 59. There's one additional. Wow. Weird.
Go down to the bottom real quick and see if maybe Shift is
General,
on there now.
Welcome to Narrator.
Yeah, I think I hit it. Okay.
Exit
it's
button,
also good that they have
commands,
General in voice
commands,
settings.
Exit Narrator selected.
Oh, yeah.
Selection contains items. Cancel
Let's
current
see.
Message. Control. Selected. 1 of 59. Fast forward while...
No.
Rewind while...
That's the last...
Move to end of text.
I want to know what the additional command is. The mysterious command of Narrator that you can assign with a keyboard shortcut. There you go. That's the job for tonight. Hunt through all the commands and see what the mysterious one is. Anyways, I'm going to play the touch part of this because I think it would fit in right nicely. And as far as containers, real
computer
quick.
Window.
This is the computer window. I'm in the list of the icons.
Hard disk drives.
Obviously.
3. Local disk. C. Local system. No next item.
So, it actually placed me into the hard disk drives container. I can hit narrator keys plus up. Again, narrator keys are Windows and Alt. And I can go into...
Hard disk drives. Group. Devices with removable storage. Group. Network location. Group.
Again, upper level.
Items view. Local disk. No next item. No previous item. Shell folder view. Control host. Pane. Status bar. Status bar. No previous item.
So now we're at the top level. So it's really hierarchical. I really... The organization is kind of nice how they did this.
I think a good comparison is like... NVDA object navigation. It's pretty much akin to that. Or if you're used to VoiceOver, you'll feel kind of at home on this. It shouldn't be too hard to get used to.
I think a lot of people would. So let's take a look at the
local disk.
The
selected.
I can get back to my
system
home
reserved
folder.
Space free. One narrator window. E computer window. Focus on desktop. Vertically scroll. Tommy selected. Item type 189.mp4 D, speech 5.1, app data, 189.mp4, run dialog, C, run Windows Task Manager window, Tommy window,
I can't find
app
it.
Data, my doc, date created, my music, selected, desktop.i, untitled.w, desktop.
Yeah, it's gone.
Tommy window, my date created, 9, my 189.mp3.
Ah, there it is. Okay, so I'm going to fast forward this into the actual part of narrator that they're using it, demoing it.
Now playing window.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming in today.
Seek.
This is the Microsoft representative that's still
current position
demo.
Current position.
A little too current, from the
current,
app.
Current
also,
position.
But as an AT vendor, you may
position,
be thinking, well,
current position.
I don't
current
really
want
to have to go to the start menu to necessarily launch my application. Now,
current position. Current,
Monday,
current
69
position,
degrees slash.
Current,
primary current, natural current, sounding voices current, and a wider range of options.
Current,
there
to
it is.
This
okay.
Experience.
Here we go.
And what you can do is register with ease of access, and you can then be launched by the hardware components. So you can actually press the Windows key and volume up. Excuse me, I have it set up to launch Narrator right now, so I'll go ahead and do that.
Current Narrator window, focus on Welcome to Narrator. Tap twice with three fingers to review the full set of touch gestures supported by Narrator. Drag a single finger around the screen to hear the item under your finger. Or, on a keyboard, press Windows plus Alt plus F1 to review the full set of Narrator commands.
Now, two things you may have noticed right away when it started. One, we have new voices. This is one of them. I will demonstrate a couple of them shortly. But overall, in Windows, we're looking to add several voices. Two U.S. English voices, David and Zira. David is the voice you just heard. A third voice that we're adding is an English UK voice, Hazel. And then when you install the other language packs, there will be a Chinese PRC, a Chinese Taiwan, French, English, Spanish, and Japanese. So out of the box, we'll have much more natural-sounding voices and a wider range of options.
Navigation, voice, change the speed, pitch, or volume of the current voice, or choose a new voice. Button, voice speed, command not available.
So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that what I'm doing is I'm dragging my finger around the screen.
Narrator window, focus on select a different voice for narrator, Microsoft David desktop, editable combo box, Alt plus V. Shortcut Alt plus.
I can do a three-fingered tap to ask Narrator to stop speaking. And then when you're on a control, Narrator will do a few things. One, it will look at that control and decide what it thinks the best primary action is and what the best secondary action is. So for a combo box, you can activate the primary action by double tapping.
Microsoft David desktop, selected, one of three.
And it'll tell you what's selected. It'll do the action for you. I'm going to select
Microsoft Zira Desktop, non-selected, 3 of 3. Microsoft Zira Desktop, selected, 3 of 3.
So it's telling you the important things, that here's the number of items, here's what's selected, I now have the third item selected. Now that's all doing a default action. Now there's a slight shift now in the what the primary and secondary action are for a combo box, because the primary action really is to select, so I'm going to do a triple tap to close the combo box.
Microsoft Zira Desktop, selected, 0 of 0. Save changes button, Alt plus S, welcome.
So, that's a pretty good demo right there, I think, as far as how touch will work on Narrator and these voices. As you heard, there's going to be several of the languages. They're really looking to improve it. And also, this entire idea of primary and secondary navigation is quite unique when compared to Apple's way of touch navigation. Yet, I think it'll allow people to sort of visualize how controls work in Windows. Very surprising in its own way. And the fact that Narrator is only using UI automation, the user interface automation that Microsoft sort of brought in with Windows 7 to obtain all this information. There's no hooks. There's nothing like with NVDA. So it's not as advanced as NVDA. But once we get to talk about Metro apps in the next few minutes, I'll explain how this would actually be working better on tablet than on desktop. You guys have any opinions on that? on Narrator as far as
touch? Yeah, the method that they kind of outlined later on as far as how Narrator and stuff like that is able to interact with the touchscreen is through a method called touch redirection. And it's the same sort of, that same protocol is what Narrator would use and what third parties and technology vendors can use, such as NVAccess for NVDA. So in theory, it will be possible for all these other screen readers and stuff like that to allow for touchscreen interaction, which I think is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, so NVDA will be able to finally get into having a touchscreen access type deal, which they haven't been able to in Windows 7 because Windows 7 didn't have the right hooks and the APIs there. But with Windows 8, all of these screen readers could have their own set of touch gestures. You know, that's nice.
As you know, Microsoft isn't playing the super duper, you know, we're only going to let you use Narrator with touch and everything's closed. You know, they're going to be able to get access to these hooks and WindowEyes and JAWS and NVDA if they so choose to use them, which I know NVAccess will probably jump on that mildly, you know, as soon as things are available. I'm stoked about that, you know, being able to put Windows on a tablet and use it.
Right. I agree. So moving into the tablet and Metro apps, I'm going to relaunch NVDA just because I think it's the best way that works with Metro right now, curiously enough, but I'm sure that I'll improve over time. And Narrator's voice is a little bit laggy than, you know, NVDA's. The SAPI 5 voices still have a little lag to them, which I'm sure will be resolved again by the time Windows 8 gets released. So
exit Narrator. No button. Yes button.
Welcome to NVDA. NVDA window.
There we go. So, what happens when you launch a Windows 8 PC? Here's what would happen. NVDA would start, and you would get to...
Start apps list of programs is new. A name proof proven. Internet Explorer title logo.png image not selected. Launch Internet Explorer 01 column 1.
Now, what the heck is this? And let me slow my speech back down again.
RAID 50, RAID 50, RAID 45.
So, again, you hit...
Start apps list of programs and is new. A name proof proven. Internet Explorer title logo.png image not selected. Launch Internet Explorer 01 column 1.
Kevin, you want to explain what this is? What is this weird-looking interface that I'm seeing?
So this is the start screen, and currently the tile names are a bit verbose, so you hear Internet Explorer tile.png.
Right.
And right afterwards, you hear the tooltip, which actually identifies the tile name properly, which is Internet Explorer, or Launch Internet Explorer.
And NVDA even
and
says
as far
the
as the whole interaction, you just arrow and enter. It's the same kind of how people are used to with the desktop.
Right. So let's actually just as you would with an iPhone home screen. You know, here we
store
have
title small .png image not selected. Launch store 01 column 2. Weather title 21.png image collapse not selected. Launch weather 01 column 3. Stock square logo.png image collapse not selected. Launch stock 01 column 4.
And the reason it says collapsed and expanded because there is currently no information in these tiles. However, if I went moved with my down arrow.
New tiles built to X control panel tile small windows explorer not select desktop collapse complete drama from the X file depth Michio Kaku are humans oblivious to the technology of advanced alien civilizations http://t.co/6wn8hours90t delete-galaxy1.jpg image expanded not selected launch complete drama.
I don't know where it's grabbing your tweets because I don't think it's my actual timeline since I'm not following. I always wonder where it's grabbing your tweets actually. Is it grabbing it from your Twitter stream? Do you guys know if the
I haven't figured out what Tweetorama, if it pulls it from the Twitter stream or if those are ads.
I think they might be like ads or even from the public Twitter
desktop,
timeline.
Tweetorama from the X file depth, Michio, desktop collapse, Tweetorama, stampede, tilewide.png, Tweetorama, desktop.
So you have all these apps, and as you heard, the Tweetorama app had that tweet there. It actually read you the tweet, and if it would update, which it's not
from the
X file
depth, Michio, Socialite 4000 build logo. Socialite 4146F1295E72E7C50CDD.
That one's just weird. That one just shows. Don't know why it does that. Probably some glitch with the Facebook app called Socialite. But yeah, these tiles will contain information. They will literally be live. Unlike static tiles on an iPhone home screen, these will actually have, you know, things that are important to you. And that's, I think, what people will be fascinated by, that your actual desktop will be a living, almost breathing type of thing.
Yeah, and the whole concept of these live tiles and the start screen and these, all that actually comes from Windows Phone 7.
Yep, they were all inspired by
Metro
that.
Style apps and so forth. Yeah. It's all from Windows Phone 7, which currently doesn't have any form of accessibility, but that's where that whole concept is from.
Yeah, thankfully, this is accessible. That's one thing they, you know.
Hopefully, yeah, otherwise they change it wouldn't that, go through
for the phones.
Yeah. What's funny about Windows Phone 7 is that Windows Phone 8, when it comes out next year, will actually be based off of Windows 8. So the same way Apple based iOS off of Mac OS X in their iPhones and iPads, yep, Windows Phone 8 will be Windows 8 based. I know.
One thing I actually wonder about where you showed the whole touchscreen demonstration earlier is the way Narrator was enabled was through hardware keys. Mm-hmm. What if a tablet or a slate or something like that was a touchscreen-based device, didn't contain any hardware buttons? So how would you then enable a Narrator?
I think you're getting to a good point, and we haven't been given any information on this yet because there haven't been really any slates announced. But I think the same way there are Windows Phone slates, or not slates, but phones, that have to have certain buttons, like a search button, a back button, I think they will put some requirements on manufacturers on which buttons and controls they need to include on their devices. That's my guess.
That'd be the best, because then any tablet, you could pick it up, and as long as it's got a touchscreen and those buttons, which if they're legally bound to make those buttons happen, that is very powerful, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
Pick up any tablet, and there's no...
Well, logically, it makes sense that they would model their Windows 8 hardware experience off of Windows Phone 7's hardware experience.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's not that successful for product.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's always but
I think their goal is to make Windows Phone 7 successful through Windows 8. You know, just sort of get the bowling ball down the streak and hopefully hit as many pins and users as they can. How would you guys define a Metro app? What's a Metro app? What is this Metro app? What's the best definition, do you think, for it?
Simply put, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Simply put, it's a touch, more mobile style interface app. I guess that's the best way to explain it. Imagine, you know, instead of Internet Explorer. Well, for number one, a lot of these apps are full screen. And there's no menus. I mean, it's a lot of it is touch buttons. It's very touch oriented,
right?
Or at least in the look, you know. I mean, it is keyboard accessible somewhat, or at least it should be in the future. But, yeah.
Well, their motto for Windows 8 is touch first. However, at the same time, I think they're really looking to make it universal. So what I'm saying is these, you know, like for example. And we'll talk about the charm bar as well, because I think that's part of the Metro experience. But to get to the charm bar, you have to hover over the left corner of the screen, and the charm bar will open with the mouse. Or you could hit Windows C, which is what I do. Actually, let's go through the charm bar. The charm bar is always present, and it contains options like...
Search button, search your applications.
Yep, there it is. So you have search...
Start button, start your applications. Settings button, adjust your application and frequently used system settings.
Settings.
Devices button, send this content to a device.
Devices.
Share button, share this content with people.
And share. And those five options are always in the charm bar.
Search button, search in your application.
So the charm bar is similar to the system menu that you could access with Alt Space, meaning that no matter where you are, you hit Windows C, the charm bar opens. I don't know how charming it is, but have you guys ever used the charm bar ever?
Not really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to kind of open it here and there on the start screen in a few applications. I haven't found it to be that useful.
And we're getting into a fundamental part of Metro. The thing with Metro is that applications are aware of each other. So that share button, if I had, let's say, a website open right now, and I hit Windows C and I hit share, I could choose which apps I want to share that content through. So I could choose Twitter, Facebook, and that's because all these apps are, I think they call them contracts. They have contracts with Windows. And so an app is aware of, let's say, a Facebook app, because it's going through a standard contract that it establishes. This is what developers actually have to implement. And through that, no matter what content, and this is the beauty of it, you can share it without going into Facebook and pasting it, or you can share it on Twitter without going from Facebook and pasting whatever you want to share. So it's really streamlined, I think. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so the focus is really kind of about integration, so to kind of make it smoother to go between apps and just kind of things actually being linked, as opposed to before, it almost seemed like once you're in one app, you're just in that app, and it has a completely different experience and interface compared to the next app over.
And there's no relation between those apps. It's like, you know, like Tommy said, you have to go through and copy the link. You know, if you wanted to share a link on Twitter, you have to go from IE or Firefox. Well, IE, I suppose, because, you know, now it's Metro.
Right.
And you literally hit the share button and, you know, you pick Twitter and, you know, boom, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. And you can do that through the charm bar. I'm sure apps will have options for sharing in their own interfaces, but that's the beauty of it. And I think all the Windows apps will be eventually rewritten with Metro in mind. Not perhaps all of them, but the same way the Task Manager and Internet Explorer now has a plug-in free. Because it's Metro, you can access a plug-in free version of Internet Explorer, which means no more Flash. But you can still go back to the...
Really good.
Yeah, I don't like Flash very much.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, if you wanted to go back to your desktop, that's available to you. So it's not being forced on you. There's actually
a desktop app.
And if I would hit this, the desktop would actually open. So there's an actual app called Desktop that you launch.
Or the alternative is if people have been using Windows D to go to desktop, which has been around for quite some time in Windows, that will still work in Windows 8 to go straight to your desktop.
And Windows M still works for the desktop, for minimizing all your apps and going to desktop. Or Windows B will bring up the system tray. So all of these keyboard shortcuts haven't changed. The only difference is that the idea is that your start screen is your point where you launch everything. And you can't access Metro apps through the desktop interface. You can only access them through the start screen. So I can't go to my Metro Twitter through through the actual desktop. I have to open the start screen to get to it.
And another thing, just to kind of complement what you said, you know, not being able to launch Metro apps from the desktop, that's, you know, absolutely correct. When you go to run and you put in IE Explorer or iExplorer, it loads the regular desktop IE. It doesn't load the Metro IE. You have to go, which is really nice, because if you hate Metro, which, I mean, that's a big part of Windows, but if you don't like it, you can avoid it if you want.
Yeah. Well, and I think ultimately there will be options to disable the Metro start screen and replace it with the traditional start menu. But in that case, you would have no abilities to even grab apps from the Windows Store that are Metro-based.
Yeah, it disables a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It but pretty much disables two fundamentals of Windows 8, the start screen and Metro apps, which at that point, if you're going to go that
with
approach...
7.
Yeah.
Stick with Windows 7. You're better off with Windows 7, yeah. Well, you'll still get the new narrator and all that, but still, it's not a big advantage, I think.
I don't think Zero's voice is worth, you know, the upgrade, though. I mean, if you're going to... Yeah, come on.
I'm sure
you know.
If they would fix the lag, though.
Well, yeah. And I'm sure people will port it to Windows 7 or Windows XP, just as Anna has been ported to XP.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I still use XP.
Anyway. XP's cool still. I think with Windows 8, though, we're going to break the performance of getting back to that XP day style snappy quickness. I mean, my Windows 8, you know, this laptop with a hard drive pretty much boots up in 10-15 seconds. That's all it takes. So it's really, we're going back to the even the same comparable performance as what XP was. Pretty cool stuff. If I launch the Twitter app, there's a ding, and VDA gave an error. But let's use our flat review or actual object navigation to see what's around here.
Switch to the current application button. Time and date clock 10:07. Start switch to the current application button. Tweet drama document read only focus. Windows Task Manager, NVDA icon, Windows Media, My Documents icon, Sound Like, Sound Rick, Virtual Audio Repeater, DVD Drive 8, Downloads icon, NVDA icon, NVDA icon, Gold Wave icon, Mac 410.
Yeah.
Skype Trade, View Downloads, Windows, Build Assistant,
I think
technology.
It went
desktop
out
icon
of 20. Focus.
Sweet ROM icon, 1 of 21.
Weird. Well, that's no good.
That's been my common experience with Metro apps. Focus loss, error sounds.
It's focus loss galore with Metro. Seriously.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's just awful.
I know the piano app works.
I wish I could be nice to it too, but it's just some things, man.
I've opened like 30 Metro apps and they all suck.
They're all, that's the problem. And the funny thing is you open up 30 Metro apps next to each other and they all lose focus. If they don't focus to the other app, they just lose
focus.
Yeah,
that is odd. That is odd. I've never seen that
until now. Yeah, they don't focus like crazy.
Desktop list, recycle.
And they end up resulting that narrator, NVDA, whatever screen you're using.
Icons.
I have actually gotten Metro IE to function properly. I was actually able to do downloads and tweet from Twitter and stuff using just Metro IE, but oh man, the narrator keys were pretty wore out after that. Lots of optional navigation.
See, Metro IE works fine.
Metro IE, out of all the Metro apps, is by far the most usable.
Yeah, I think it even closed down. That's not in my app list anymore.
Sort of control, panel, small, so,
yeah,
control,
the piano.
I've seen that happen too, where it just closes.
Especially
if you have several of them open.
Well, if I open the piano app, that works.
System access, nuts, NVDA, not flash card, tile square, a name group, tube writer, logo, aircraft, tube, tile puzzle, logo, mopod, mopod, a name group, new tiles, built, measure, one, new tile, control panel, tiles, windows, internet, explore, store, tile, weather, tile, stock, square, five in a row, load, zero, gravity, a name group, labyrinth, logo, the piano, tile, small, dot,
there it
piano.
Is. I think this works.
Another
eight. So.
You're doing this to the keyword?
Graphic MS law, slash, slash, graphic MS law, slider, button, 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 button.
Yeah, you have all these graphics that are like the keys, but you can actually use the keyboard. Yeah, Q, W, E, R.
So you it's smart enough to know that it's inside of a Metro app, and it's not trying to press those letters within the app. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not doing the virtual buffer thing.
Yeah, the app has focus.
Yeah, it's passing it through to the application.
It is, actually. You're right. You're right. But yeah. So you have, you know, your standard piano. And
when you
works.
When you like Windows 8, you write happy songs.
So there you go. That's one good thing about the Metro app, that the screen reader isn't capturing the keyboard.
Start app, store, weather,
keyboard
weather.
Well, let's see what that was when they opened the weather app.
Audio tag, piano, document, read only.
Yeah,
that's... Document, read only, focused.
Yeah,
that's
the
so
weather
great.
App.
Yeah.
The weather app seems to not gain focus.
You can give it a try, but...
Yeah, it doesn't seem to gain focus. And to end these apps, one new concept with Windows 8 is that you don't end applications. You can't. You can't Alt F4. I'm hitting Alt F4 right now. Nothing's happening.
Instead, the apps get suspended.
Right. When you switch
pretty
over to another one.
They go into a frozen state where they're not consuming any resources, and they're back in the same state when you Alt-Tab back to them.
Yeah.
That really got me when I was up in the the Metro control panel, I couldn't figure out how do you close it. And then I was reading, and I was like, oh, this is really inconvenient, but I guess I get their point.
Well, the thing is that if you're Alt-Tabbing and you have a lot of these apps open, closing them would make your Alt-Tab experience a little bit less tedious.
Yes.
You know? So if I hit...
Start your applications. Settings button. Device settings button. Adjust space. PDC 3 weather search at C. Program files applications. Microsoft. Weather 1.0.0.26. Neutral. Link of 3D8. Wii resources. Dry MS resource. /. Microsoft. W.
Okay. I don't know what that was all about. But...
I found that with each Metro app you open, it just extremely verbose.
lots and lots of things, and like really weird, you know, obscure like addresses of. It's just a bunch of junk, really. Filing bugs, of course, on that, you know, will need to happen.
And the good thing, though, is, I mean, with filing bugs against this sort of stuff is, if they're fixed, they're not fixed specifically for, like, Narrator. They're fixed for the kind of accessibility of these Metro apps and for UIA, which translates to anything that uses UIA, which is all these screen readers.
Settings, search apps, list apps.
Control panel, from the start screen, just press down and right.
Settings not selected. Search box edit search. Settings. Search apps list list. Settings. Files. Settings. Search box edit search. Yeah. Settings.
I don't think I found anything for Metro settings.
Start apps list list of pro store tile small dot control panel tile small windows control panel tile control panel.
Yeah, it's called control panel. Which I think is kind of misleading because then in the mini control panel, I call it opens up the. You can have a thing that says more settings, and then that opens up the big control panel, and it's really. It kind of confuses something you can't see the screen.
In addition to some of the ones in the mini control panel, some of the things don't work, like Windows Update.
Exactly.
And,
I'm going to shut down these Metro apps.
The actual
process which sandboxes these apps is called wwahost.exe. I mean, this is what actually runs the Metro app.
Windows Explorer control panel. Go to the desktop control panel link. Lock screen link. User tile link. M100.jpg graphic M100.jpg. Browse button, browse for picture. M100, 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 tile link. Use wireless colon turn wireless and airplane mode on or off link.
Notification. Okay, now we're getting the good stuff.
Yeah, and this stuff is actually accessible.
Privacy colon control apps use your personal info link. General colon change time zone and keyboard settings or refresh your PC link.
Ah, refresh your PC. That's something we gotta talk about still. There's just so many things to talk about. I don't think we can cover all this in one podcast, obviously, but yeah, all these settings are pretty basic.
Search colon pick what slash share colon pick the apps you send colon pick share search colon pick what slash where you want to search or delete your history link. Share colon pick the apps you use to share stuff or delete your history link. Send colon pick the apps you use to send stuff to devices link. Ease of access colon make your PC easier to use link.
As you can see, ease of access is actually important to them enough to be in this Metro control panel.
Devices colon manage the things you connect to your PC like printers and TVs link. Homebrew colon share libraries and devices with others on your homebrew link. Windows update colon get the latest updates for your PC link. More settings colon for even more control go to the desktop control panel link.
And this is where you can hit more settings. Yep. So,
and of course, before Kevin said, the mini control panel Windows update doesn't seem to want to work.
No,
you
it doesn't.
Click on it all day and it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Or,
what's actually interesting about the mini control panel is if you, unlike the traditional desktop control panel, is once you select an item, it actually doesn't change the whole window to that specific setting. So you have all this stuff still on the screen, and you just have an updated area with whatever you set.
It's like a pain, a certain pain.
That's what I was going to say, like Windows a split pane get, view kind Windows of thing from what I can gather.
So, but right, it doesn't update. Seem that F6 will allow you to jump between those two panes. Have you guys found
more than install personalized colon custom does? Lock screen and users colon wireless colon notify private chat?
That's what I've noticed. Share, it kind of stays there.
More install, but no die.
Yeah, but more settings like, for even more. I just hit Windows update, and
install, but no die.
There's an install button.
Oh no.
Updates are available 300 KB text.
Windows it actually text. Works. Is that the mini
updates
control
are available
panel?
300 install button focus all die.
Yeah.
More settings for Windows update colon.
Okay, maybe we were wrong.
Homebrew colon share.
That's strange.
It doesn't work.
Unless there was an update today that fixed it, maybe.
I wonder what the
300. Well, he just got an update, so
devices colon manage the things.
or you know, earlier today, maybe that fixed that little problem, and now there's another one.
I don't know.
Another little update. I don't know. That's strange.
I didn't grab any update today, though.
Well, that's good. It's working now. Okay.
More settings calling for you. Add a device link.
That was pretty quick. Pretty quick fix.
Yeah. This is the added device.
Devices text. Add a device link focused. Fax button 0 ready. HP92D12VHP photo smart D110 series button 1 HP92D12VHP.
And as you can see, it actually found the printers that are in college. So it found the printer that's here in my dorm. So this thing auto discovers printers and devices, and that's really cool. The way devices are handled in Windows 8 is completely different. Also, I can plug in something, it'll be detected in like 10 seconds. It's really a more streamlined experience, I think. I like that you don't have to be waiting for the driver to be installed. And
more window home, ease, send, share, search, general, colon, change, time zone, and keyboard.
General.
Search, share, send, ease of devices, colon, home, group, colon, share, windows, update, colon, get more settings, colon, combo box collapsed. Day text. Combo box, adjust clock for daylight saving time automatically text.
This is the general settings.
Adjust clock for daylight touch keyboard text. Add a period after I double tap the spacebar text. Add a period after I double tap the spacebar slider on. Capitalize the first letter of each sentence.
Have any of you figured out how to use those slider on off things? Like with narrator?
Spacebar.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, I was figuring that out. I was trying to figure it out during the installation process because there's a bunch of those if you choose custom settings.
Yeah, spacebar just switches it on and off.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was just. When it said slider, I figured it was up and down arrow.
I tried arrows. I tried all sorts of.
Yeah, I tried every possible navigation method. And
I got frustrated with it. And I just said, you know what? You just can't toggle this. Let's move on. Oh, but yeah, let's talk a little bit about then the refresh and reset. Since we also saw that idea, concept of refresh your PC. What? This is going to be a big change. You'll be able to pretty much reinstall Windows without reinstalling Windows. Have you guys investigated those two new features?
I saw them, and I kind of... Yeah. No, I didn't actually go into them, but...
Okay.
I have an idea of how they work. I haven't used them.
Yeah, I figured... Sorry. I just kind of was like, oh, cool. System restore, except well, that works. But not yeah, quite. I might actually try it.
There are several differences. System reset is the idea that your PC will be reinstalled to factory. Everything will be wiped. If you want to keep user settings, you can keep user settings. I used system reset in my review of build 7989. And it'll let you pretty much, reset your computer. Refresh is a different ballgame. It'll erase your settings almost, but it won't erase your Metro apps and its settings. And it'll preserve your documents and your data and all that, but it will erase all of your classic desktop apps. It'll erase, I think, a lot of your settings related to those applications. Obviously, all spyware, malware, all that will be gone too, hopefully. And your computer is pretty much refreshed to a state that it was when you got it or when you installed all your apps onto it. So there's a difference. One takes 20 minutes, the other takes 4 minutes. Refresh usually just takes 4 minutes to complete, and then with reset, obviously everything is reinstalled technically, and that only takes, that'll take 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes to do.
And it's kind of going to replace like the HP recovery manager stuff. Oh, I mean, not really, but it's kind of the same thing where it's like, you know, reset your system to factory defaults, except built into Windows, which,
right.
Honestly, that would have saved me a lot of reinstalls, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I think it would just replace all of those companies' pretty much rescue and recovery tools, because you won't need them anymore. I mean, you'll be able to just invoke this and go from reinstalling a computer without having to wipe everything out, and it won't be as painful anymore. So that's sort of new. As I said, you can't close this program, and the idea is that to get back to your applications, you just hit the home screen. You don't even have to alt-tab. You just use your home screen to move from app to app, I think. That's their goal with making this sort of tabletized.
Start apps list of store tiles, weather tiles, stock square, 5 in a row, 0 gravity, name group, labyrinth, logo.php.
Yep, there's our start screen. So that's, I think, a pretty good summary of the new things. Am I missing anything? There's a new task manager.
I think it'd be good to talk about the whole, I mean, we kind of demoed, or you demoed the NVDA narrator working. Mm-hmm. What about some of the other kind of screen readers? For example, Window Eyes and JAWS, they rely on mirror drivers. And
yeah.
Windows 8 mirror implemented, drivers. Kind of moved away from mirror drivers. And it's really about time onto this thing called GDI accessibility drivers.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool because we won't... See, I was a little disappointed with the GDI accessibility drivers because you'll still have to install a driver onto the system. So it's not like you can just ditch drivers completely. But at least you won't have this advantage that you did with mirror display drivers, which are, you know, getting back to the classic theme when you were using mirroring or not being able to play Blu-ray movies when you were using mirror display drivers.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, it'll get rid of those advantages or those disadvantages, and it'll provide companies an easier way to sort of implement accessibility through GDI hooking.
Yeah, because I know a lot of the, and I mean a lot of the problem, you know, with especially JAWS when Vista first popped out, you know, when Vista was released in January of 07, it took them until the end of, I believe, February to fix that.
Yeah.
And it came out the 31st of January, and they finally had a beta of JAWS for Vista. The 28th of February, I believe, and there was major mirror driver issues, and then just a lot of display hooking not working, and you know, graphics on the screen not being
right. I mean,
it was
just
problems for months. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this will fix a lot of that.
Hopefully, but at the same time, I wonder how comparable. I think it'll place NVDA and JAWS to the same playing field, because I think NVDA isn't it using hooking to sort of get into the display driver, or is it using a different way of getting in from a...
NVDA uses what's called... Freedom Scientific and GW Micro use what's called Video Intercept, which is... It's an actual driver... It's a DCM, Display Chaining Manager. That's what Microsoft developed when XP came around. That doesn't matter so much anymore, but... with mirror driving, that's kind of what's replaced DCM, and it's a very, you know, that's why you need to reboot your machine once you install JAWS or Window Eyes. But NVDA uses a slightly less aggressive, I guess, you know, it's a different method. It's just called display hooking, which actually passes through the graphics card itself and gets the information after it's gotten from the OS or set from the OS.
This GDI, by the way, GDI stands for the Graphics Display Interface, I believe. Mm. It is the essential subsystem that Windows has for the graphics card. It's pretty much part of Windows that generates the graphics. I think that NVDA is sort of doing the same kind of thing, except without the drivers. But they're both hooking into the graphics card in a way. And this will create a more equal playing field between JAWS and NVDA, because JAWS will no longer be able to get, you know, the direct pass through to the video card by making its own virtual mirror video card, which is what it was doing before. It'll actually be able to have to be forced to use the same method, which is by passing through to Windows into its own GDI driver, and then the GDI driver, I believe, passes into the graphics driver. So it's using a similar approach, except that Microsoft is allowing these companies to transition from their mirror display drivers without having to rewrite the entire code base of the screen reader.
So, because the way I understand it is they're going to keep mirror drivering around, or they're going to try and keep some semblance of that, and then they're going to kind of move away from it?
I think so. I think they're trying to... Microsoft, with Narrator... As they said in their presentation, and which I didn't show here because it is a long presentation, it's like an hour, but they said that Narrator is UI only. So Narrator is only using user interface automation to obtain screen information. And as a result, Microsoft is really pushing UIA into for developers. First off, the presentation specifically says that when a person makes an HTML5 or any kind of Metro app, it actually passes into UIA. So all of these Metro elements will be accessible through UIA. And so this is why Narrator is UIA-based, because on a tablet, which will still be able to run, by the way, today I read an article that confirmed, these ARM-based tablets, and Windows 8 will be released basically in three processor versions. We have the 32-bit, 64-bit, and then ARM. ARM is what tablets run, or cell phones run. It's called ARM. And it'll be able to run on ARM. But if a desktop application decides to go and port itself, so make an ARM version available, desktop apps will still be able to run under Windows 8 on a tablet, and you'll still have a desktop, but Microsoft will be pushing the Metro everywhere, which as a result will make Narrator a really powerful screen reader, because it will be able to use UIA to hook into these Metro apps.
So well, and not to mention, Narrator's got the first, well, of course it does, but I mean, right now at least, Narrator's the touchscreen, the only one on Win 8 right now that supports touch gestures, which, I mean, of course, you know, it's just, it's, you know, dev build, and nobody else has really gotten access to those stuff, that stuff yet, but I think them having a head start will, you know, like you said, with UIA, and then having Metro apps being written mostly, you know, having that UIA access will really, you know, be exciting for tablet users.
And that's where,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I mean, Kevin, even
the fact that the Narrator has kind of a, somewhat of a model and kind of help available for how touchscreen is supposed to work and with Narrator and so forth, I mean, it's going to set kind of an example of, okay, this is possible, and this is kind of the approach we took, and allow other kind of assistive technology vendors to spin it off in whatever way they choose. So at the current kind of, for all the screen readers and assistive technologies who are using mirror drivers and so forth, they aren't currently working with the early developer build, as in they're not running and kind of providing any level of useful feedback, but I mean, they'll be able to transition over to the GDI accessibility drivers, which will take some time and resources and efforts and so forth, but it's not as if they're completely left in the cold.
Yeah.
As far as we know, though, I mean, that they're not submitting feedback, hopefully they are, and we just don't know about it, or if they're keeping it under wraps, and then, you know, hopefully 2 months later, GW or a month later comes out and says, oh, yeah, we have a beta of Windowize. You guys want to try it on Windows 8? And everybody jumps at it and says, you know, cool.
Well, GW Micro, on their Twitter account, they actually said that they're testing an internal version of Windowize.
Yeah, they said they had it running.
Yeah, they have it running.
So they have it working. Freedom Scientific is just more mysterious about what they're doing with JAWS. We don't know if they're actually porting it. I'm sure they will, because it's a big profit loss for them. But
yeah.
NVDA, by far right now, is the best screen reader to use, because I know Mick and Jamie over there have really worked on implementing UIA to its fullest potential.
Yes, absolutely.
And System Access, yeah, System Access works well too, but it's not as good in a way.
Well,
yeah,
yet.
The really cool thing with NVDA is, I mean, even at this early stage, they've already addressed two bugs.
Really?
With NVDA and Windows 8. And
yeah, there've been, I think, within 24 to 48 hours.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Mick actually got Windows 8 running, and they actually did, or, well, Mick, I know for sure, grabbed Windows 8 and was messing with it and fixed a few bugs. And
right.
I mean, it's very exciting for it to be that proactive and to see that. I think that's one of the reasons why NVDA right now, at least, is really leading in Windows 8, because you can see the progress. I mean, if you go to their bug tracker, you can see bugs filed, and then you can see them closed, you know, a day later.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Sometimes bugs, I've seen them fixed within 3 hours. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, I've heard System Access does something like that also. I mean, I don't know. I don't use System Access at all. I've really never used it, but I've heard some good things.
I don't use it either.
Yeah,
I've heard people say good things, so.
Yeah, the good thing about System Access is they'll email you when it's been updated, and they do incremental updates. But NVDA, I think, for me, because I'm in Eastern Time, obviously, the updates come out more during the night, mm-hmm. and it's I'm pretty sure by tomorrow morning I'll check my email inbox and I'll have a spam load of, you know, main rev 48 increase.
Yep.
4702, yes. Fix this, fix that. And I'm every night I go to sleep and I think, wow, I'm sure Mick and Jane will be working on fixing this up and fixing that.
Yeah, and that's the beauty is I wake up every morning and make a pot of coffee and pull down the latest snapshot and...
Yeah.
So, are we missing anything? Do you want to show the dev? As you mentioned, Kevin, it's important to submit bugs, and I just want to have... Sorry, the microphone's better. To just have a general knowledge of how that tool works, because I use that tool. I think anyone who is running Windows 8 should submit as many reports as they can. That's
please,
very
please,
important.
Please.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Don't wait until the betas. The betas, it'll be frozen, and you can't do anything. You know, they'll be like, we're sorry, you know.
Yeah.
We'll try and get an update.
There are 500,000 people at least running the developer preview of Windows 8. That's a big
number. That was actually within less than 12 hours.
It's probably more now.
I bet it's over 1 million. So I think that they said they will be pushing out Windows updates for bugs, and as much as we bug them about them, I think the more they're able to pay attention and be like, hey, you know, we should fix this, we should fix that, since more people are reporting about this. So it's important that people use that tool. Could you demo that real quick, Kevin?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and demo it here.
Okay.
So can you hear it?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, so here's the send feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tag twice to the category list and then down here for accessibility and then tab and press N for narrator, tab to the next. So here's where you provide a brief description of what the issue is, so it can be anything as SAPI 5 TTS lags.
Laggy. Yeah.
And then you can... Unfortunately, this part's not accessible, but what it's supposed to do is actually record your steps as your actual keystrokes and do screenshots and all that. Privacy statement, we'll skip that. So here's the step-by-step description of the issue. So here's where you would write something to the effect of navigate around...
Yeah,
just steps you're performing when the issue occurred. So an example is you bring up, you press narrator F1 and you arrow through the list of commands and it's
sluggish and it takes, you know, two commands behind, you know, the actual focus and, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, it's reading stuff that it already passed and so forth. And you can kind of rehash the actual issue that it kind of lags, it kind of reads extraneous info, it's losing focus, and you also describe that it should be able to maintain focus, it should be more responsive, and so forth. And that's all the information you'll put in this box.
What I usually do when I submit bugs too is I put STR colon, you know, steps to reproduce, I put my steps, and then when I put the expected behavior, I put a huge, in all caps, expected colon, and then blah, 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 and that way somebody looking will be able to say, okay, this is what's really supposed to happen, so even if they're kind of clueless, they'll still say, okay, I got to tell the devs to do this, and it'll get fixed quicker, hopefully, if it's very specific and detailed.
Yeah, so definitely, I mean, Alex kind of highlighted, hit the nail on the head, you have to be very specific and detailed. And then you go to your next. And actually what I do when I get on this screen is I do shift tab because all this stuff are about attaching files and all that stuff. And you select send report and then it'll go ahead and gather all of your kind of system information and whatever else, configuration and so forth. And once it's done collecting that, it will present the finish button.
Yep. That's pretty simple, and thanks for showing that. I think it's also great to point out that Microsoft is actually including an accessibility section to the reporter, so it's not like they're, you know, like you have to manually enter that. I mean, there is an accessibility section to this. And that's, I think, a huge thing.
I think a good important thing is you don't have to just randomly, you know, you don't have to aimlessly file a bug and just kind of pick a category and just hope that somebody sees it.
Yeah. There's an actual, you know, team that's probably looking at these and seeing these. And I really see them embracing accessibility so much with Windows 8. That one thing to know.
Yeah, I think that's definitely all exciting, and I mean the fact that they improved the narrator, and in the video, other parts they showed kind of screen magnification and so forth. So, I mean, Windows 8 and kind of Microsoft, they're definitely taking accessibility much more seriously, which is evident in this Windows Developer Preview feedback tool. And I think people should really kind of, recognize this for one and kind of appreciate it, but also at the same time, leverage it to kind of and provide them all the feedback.
Yeah,
take advantage of it and hammer them with every bug that you, I mean, really, you know, any logical or, I mean, real bug. I mean, don't just be like, well, narrator sucks and it doesn't work. I mean, be specific, get all those bugs filed. And if you sound like me and like Kevin and I, we've been kind of just going back and forth and we've been filing a lot of duplicate bugs. And the reason for that is not to be annoying. It's, if more than one user sees this as an issue, then it'll get fixed quicker.
They'll see different ways people reproduce that bug. I mean, there might be, you know, more than one way to approach this, so they'll be able to be more, even more detailed about it and such. So that's important.
Yeah, and with some of the kind of accessibility filing specifically, I mean, they don't have to be specifically about narrator or about how it works or how it doesn't work and so forth. I mean, it can even be about the Metro apps. And, for example, if you bring up weather and you tab around, you can't do anything, but you're able to review text. Or,
Task Manager not being accessible.
Yeah. I mean, Task Manager, you tab around and you arrow around and so forth, and you try the various narrator left and right, and it reads nothing. I mean...
Yeah.
Just each and every single aspect of Windows 8.
Right. Wow, it's been a long podcast, guys, but...
Yeah, it definitely has.
In conclusion, what do you guys think of Windows 8? What's the future looking like? Is it a good thing that we're moving into a tablet-based interface? Is it a bad thing? I mean, this is, as I said, it's such a big change. It's probably as big as going from MS-DOS to Windows. I mean, it's not as radical, you know, because we still have a GUI, a graphical interface. But the actual change of the way you are interacting with your computer, as we saw, is fundamentally different. Very different. And I think Apple, I can see them with macOS 10.8 when it comes out, possibly only allowing the Launchpad as the only interface. If people, especially if they see people using Launchpad for their everyday activities, they might just say, okay, the Finder isn't that important. It'll be the sort of a file explorer thing, but we'll make Launchpad the default desktop interface. So it's really sort of kicking off, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great that they're kind of doing this new interface and kind of really being very bold about the whole thing. But at the same time, having the still desktop there and Windows Explorer and Task Manager and the full-blown control panel. But also, I mean, the really cool thing for, I mean, all of us and probably for a number of the listeners that will listen to this is the increased kind of focus with Narrator and UIA and the touch redirection and GDI accessibility drivers. I mean, pretty much what all those acronyms and letters and alphabet soup translates to is more and better accessibility.
Absolutely.
And even for our sighted listeners, which we might have, I think having this efficient way of launching, switching between apps, you know, just by going back to your home screen, launching another app or an app that you want to switch back to even. Hopefully there will be some kind of task manager, some simpler, you know, double tap the Windows key to get to it or something. But I think it's a more efficient way of getting things done in a sense, because you are able to organize your tiles into groups if you want. You are able to make them bigger or smaller. So it's very customizable. And for those of us who use a mouse and a keyboard, they're really trying, and it's just an improvement. I'm sure it will change by the time the thing is released, with making Windows 8 more seamless with keyboard and mouse shortcuts, and the touch interface too, so the transition isn't that great or as big. But for the sighted users, having this more fluid, more connected interface will be a very big appreciation, I think, in a way too.
Yeah, and I think also one of the big pluses of Windows 8 is it's not all about the cute, fancy buttons and the glittering interfaces. I mean, it still runs fast. It still runs good. Certainly, I think people are going to really be a little nervous. Oh, yeah. Oh, is this going to be another Vista? You know, Vista was terrible. Why are they changing things? Realistically, you know, as we've stated earlier, I mean, it uses less RAM. It boots quick. It just there's a lot of performance things. I mean, I think when it comes out, I'm probably going to upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, on bare metal, not just run it virtually anymore. I think when it does come out, I think, you know, as long as they take accessibility seriously, which they really seem to be doing, and in general, I mean, performance things. I mean, if there's bugs that you found that aren't accessibility related, then file those, of course, too. But I really think this is going to be a substantial revolutionary change, and I am no way associated with Microsoft, so I'm just talking. But you know, it's right. I think it really is going to be different. It's going to be exciting.
Well, especially if they make it if they make it their Windows Phone 8 based off of this, it's required that they make the interface fluent and fluid in everything that people want to do. And overall, it's a important direction, but it's also a direction. It's a risk. Because
yes,
right now they can't anymore. They can't just go, oh, we're dropping Metro, we're dropping this new stuff, sorry guys, you know, it was all... No, they can't. They can't back out of this. With Vista, they could reset it with Longhorn. You know, Longhorn was reset into Vista in like 2005.
Yeah.
They can't do this anymore. They can't just go, oh, we're resetting this. Sorry guys.
Well, I think too, it's a gamble, like you said. Yeah. They really have to focus on what the users want and what is best for all people, you know. That's why I think they're taking accessibility with such a handle on the reins. And I mean, I'm not going to talk to death about it, but it is a substantial upgrade. And then, to be, you know, beyond all that, I think having a different, or I mean, the same UI, or the same basic OS will be a lot easier to maintain across platforms. For instance, you know, having a phone OS, having a tablet OS, and having your big desktop OS, and then of course servers, it'll be a little more streamlined and easy to for the devs to actually manage.
Check MA 100.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I think that all this cloud platform compatibility will allow us to essentially make Windows 8 be like Mac OS and the iPhone are. You know, they're the same code base, the same thing, and ultimately Microsoft might end up having a very tight ecosystem, at least as far as their operating systems are concerned. So the same way VoiceOver in Mac OS works the same way on the trackpad as it does under the iPhone OS, it's the same concept. Narrator, for example, in Windows 8 might work the same way on Windows Phone 8 when that gets released. And as far as the server, I think with Windows Server 8, they're actually making the regular start menu the default application. Oh, crash dialog. Looks like Skype has crashed. Well, that's not nice. No more Skype. At the same time, I have to end this podcast pretty soon since we're probably running over 1.5 hours. And I think we've covered all our bases. I wish I could relaunch Skype. Doesn't seem to be able to open up again. And then Task Manager has been killed, looks like. So, unless I had to do a full restart, there's no way to get back on Skype. Wonderful. this is why people do say Windows 8 is not for production use. Yes, I definitely say if you're going to be using Windows 8 for heavy usage, such as even just running a lot of apps at once, you can crash it pretty easily. So this isn't really a release to be used as a stable OS, but it is pretty stable. I mean, the entire thing is very snappy. It feels stable, but it does have glitches. Overall, using it in the last week, beside now, I have not encountered many errors with Windows 8. I must say, this is a pretty surprising thing right here. Well then, since we can't get Skype back up, and since Windows 8 is starting to act up, pretty weird, since now I can't even switch between applications. Forever stuck in Windows Media Player, I might be able to use my mouse to get on the screen. I think this is it. I really appreciated everyone who has listened to this podcast. I want to provide my special heartfelt thanks both to Kevin and Alex, who came on this program to talk about Windows 8 with me in depth and provide their views and opinions on this upcoming operating system. I'm very sorry that unfortunately, we had to have this sort of cut out, unexpected ending. But overall, it's been a great time, a great podcast. I enjoyed making it, hopefully as much as you enjoyed listening to it. And my goal is to help you embrace the upcoming Microsoft Windows 8 operating system. So stay safe and have fun. Enjoy your life to its fullest extent. Big changes are on the way.